Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to Metron Live podcast, coming to you from Metron in beautiful Midtown, historic Atlanta. Metron people, give the podcast people a welcome. Before we started this morning, several of us were talking about the impact this month has had on us, especially entering into serenity. Jackie said something that I completely resonated with me. She said, I've noticed, especially since we've been back from Jekyll Island, I can even watch the news and stay informed, but I don't feel about it. I'm not engaged. And I said, I completely understand. I want to know what's going on in the world, but I'm nearly watching it as an observer. And even to the point I can understand opposing viewpoints. I can understand, like, oh, I see why you see it that way. And stay informed and keep your opinions and your principles and all that kind of stuff, but you maintain your serenity. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Title this month is The Sound of Silence, Discovering the Power of the Serene Mind. And it's very interesting. Even Jack was talking about meditating made him want to cry. And he said, I don't know why. I wasn't feeling sad. I said, I tell you, it's something happens when you really quieten down and get in touch with your subconscious, which is really your spirit. You just can't underestimate the power of silence. I think nothing against prayer and petition. I've done prayer seminars and written books about prayer. But I think too much prayer nearly becomes counterproductive. Like all you're doing is talking, and you're doing no listening. And sometimes you don't even know what it is that you want to pray for because you haven't been silent enough to even get in touch with what you really want. I've been pulled into praying for something that I didn't even care about or didn't want. It's hard to agree with somebody when you're not really agreeing with them from the inside out. And I remember even years ago I was watching, you know, we're not in a relationship right now, and I'm believing that all my relationships will be eventually mended, but I was looking at Mark Sharona was on the video last night, and I remember him teaching one time, prayer is not the first word. In other words, you hear it first, and then you make a declaration. Because I don't know if you're experiencing this, but I'm living in an era where everything I say is coming to pass so quickly that I'm having to really watch what I say. Because creating is very easy lately. I just say something, and it happens. If I may refer to the trip last weekend one more time, I just said, let's go to Jekyll Island. And a few days later, at least this many people, if not more, were out there on a beach. We just say something and it happens. So you have to really watch what you say, because intention, creativity, it takes on momentum, kind of like a boulder going down a mountain, and like it gets easier and easier and easier to create. And before you know it, you can create hybrids of things that you don't really want. People end up in relationships they didn't want, or taking jobs they didn't want, or buying houses they didn't want, or going on trips, doing all kinds of things that they think, I didn't even want to do this, but I spoke it into existence, and your word becomes like an arrow, and you start following that arrow, and you follow in the direction. Your words are so powerful. And that's why it nearly sounds like a contradiction in terms. But honoring silence is actually a way to recognize how powerful your words are. Do you understand? Like the more you get in touch with being meditative and serene and silent, the more you understand your words are these valuable gems. They're not something cheap you buy at Sam's. Do you know what I mean? They're rare. They're like something valuable that there's only one of at Tiffany's. And you have to think about, this is the way my words are, apples of gold and settings of silver. So I'm going to be very quiet, because when it is time for me to speak, where the word of a king is, there is authority. When I say something, it's going to manifest. Every logos is wanting to be made flesh. In the beginning was willed action. We're coming into a place where we are the prayer. So now we decide, I'm going to do this. And when you say, I'm going to do it, it's Jesus crossing to the other side. Now, let me tell you about this weather last week. As I told you, they predicted 80% chance. Ken didn't want to be negative, but he loves that weather app. And he said, I'm just going to tell you so you'll know how to pray. They're predicting 80%, nearly like hurricane weather. And I said, I got it. Don't tell me again. Jesus said we're going to cross to the other side. The winds came up. Disciples freaked out. He came out of his place of serenity, asleep in the boat, rebukes them. Oh, you have little faith. Peace be still. Third level is recognizing that not everybody's where you are, is what he did. And I guarantee you, if it had rained last weekend, we would have figured it out. And that's another thing I loved about it. There wasn't one person, and you got to know, I've had a lifetime of doing things that people want to give me a negative report on. There wasn't one person last week who texted me and said, I just want you to know they're expecting rain. What are we going to do if it rains? Because it might rain. You know they're saying it's going to rain. Like, not one person. I'm sure he's a grown man now, but I always remember that little boy when Harpo falls through the roof and he comes and goes, it's going to rain on your head. And it wasn't one person that told me, you know, what are you going to do to get rained out? If we got rained out, we'd gone under pavilion. But there's something about, hear me on this, there's something more powerful about saying, we're going to go, rather than, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over the, like, I nearly think, I mean, I understand resist the devil who flee from you. I know that. But there is something about this idea of what you resist persists. And I think sometimes when you pray too hard against it, you make it more powerful than it should be. So it's kind of like the thing wants to come back and challenge you. You know what I said on the way down? You know, it would drizzle a little bit. And I had the moon roof open. And I'm looking at it. And I said, I love the clouds. I don't want clouds to completely go away. I want it to rain. I don't want my words to get so powerful that I rebuke rain and we go into a drought, you know? So I said, clouds, this is just how I talked to him. I said, you're so beautiful. What I would like for you to do for the next few hours while we're in Jekyll Island, if you could move out to the ocean so that we could have some dry space on the beach, I would really appreciate it. Did you know what? That's exactly what the clouds did. Sunday morning, we went back to the hotel room, we chilled out a little bit, and then it was time to check out, and Jenkins had told us about a place in St. Simon's that sounded good for breakfast. I said, well, let's drive over there. So we went over there, and it was great. We had breakfast. As we're pulling out of St. Simon's, bottom dropped out. I mean, I couldn't see we couldn't see the hood of the car. And I was like, thank you. That's all I asked. I don't mind driving in the rain. I just asked for a few hours. And it's just, I'm telling you, so many things. I didn't just learn things last weekend. So many things were confirmed to me that I already knew, which means you go on with your plans regardless. There's a script, I referred to it on the beach, but there's a scripture in Micah that says, he who observes the clouds will not sow. In other words, a farmer knows that you just have to plant your seed. It doesn't matter what the weather's like. You can't wait till, this is just true about life in general. You can't wait till things are perfect. It's an illusion. Things being perfect is an illusion. You just decide to do something, and you do it. I picked that weekend because I wanted to do it pretty quickly. I thought Mother's Day weekend's not realistic, and Memorial Day weekend's not realistic. And what's in between that? Oh, May 19th and 20th. Perfect. Done. And you make a decision. The universe bends toward your will. The universe conspires to make it happen. If you need to call that God, fine. Let me tell you something. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, they're not nearly as delicate as you think. When you say universe, Jesus isn't in heaven going, you better give me the glory or I'm going to be mad. That's not the way God, he's God. He's not obsessing over whether you said, you know, the universe didn't die on the cross for your sin. Oh, that's bogus. Don't say stupid stuff like that. It just makes you look idiotic. I'm just going to show you three things, and then we're going to get out of here, and we're going to go out of town. This is the Amplified Classic. That is my declaration. Where we go? That is funny. Yeah, y'all come up, but we're going to Chattanooga. We're going to spend the night in Chattanooga and look at the river. Isn't that, Chattanooga is kind of our home away from home. It's like from my front door, it's an hour, 45 minutes. And I like it better in the fall because it's in the mountains kind of stuff, but it's just a little change of scenery for that's close by. So, yeah, y'all come up. See, is B's fried chicken open on Memorial Day? Ooh, Lord, I'm mostly vegetarian, but sweet Jesus, that's the best fried chicken. Don't tell me about your mama's fried chicken. This is the best that is ever. Anyway, y'all, hush. In the Amplified Classic, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all, that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. King James says the issues of life. That little song I led this morning, I don't even know who wrote that little chorus, but love is flowing like a river, flowing out from you and me. You know, Jesus in John 7, he talked about being filled with the Spirit, and he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. I was taught in the Pentecostal church that meant speaking in tongues. I think it's such a bigger thing than that. There's life that flows out of you. Another little song we used to sing in church when I was growing up is, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well. Live in my soul. Spring up, oh well. And make me whole. Spring up, oh well. And give to me that life eternally. What I love about that, and it's from a scripture about telling the well to spring up. It's not talking about the life coming out of heaven. It's saying the life's coming out of me. I've got a river of life. Flowing out from you and me. Yeah, but we need the Lord. We need each other. Jesus said it's necessary that I go away so that y'all find each other. I didn't think about it to put it on the outline, but I taught on this a couple of years ago. In James 5, where it says, If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and anoint him with all the prayer of faith. Save the sick, the Lord will raise him up. In the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament, it puts a completely different slant on that. It says, basically, tell the people in the church who have been through some things to come together, and it refers to touching one another and speaking good words to each other. I'm losing something in translation here. It's really more impactful when you read it. But what it's saying is that it's the people in your life who heal you. It's certainly the people in your life that can hurt you. All the counseling I've ever done in 46 years of ministry is somebody telling me what somebody did to them. So clearly, you know, there's a reason why Jesus said the second commandment is likened to the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's ridiculous when people say, well, I love the Lord, I just don't love his people. You can't say that. It doesn't work that way. How can you say that you love God who you haven't seen if you don't love your brother you have seen? You have to find a way to accept who they are. Love them unconditionally. I would never say this otherwise, but since he's posting it on Instagram, it's out there. My oldest son's had some issues, and he's lost a front tooth, and he's getting it fixed, but he was real embarrassed about it. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I was a little embarrassed about it. I'm like, you know, we got to get that we got to get that fixed now. And he's in England right now. And he posted a picture on Instagram last night just laughing as hard as he could. He looked like he did when he was a little boy, laughing with a friend. Big gap in his tooth showing. And I looked at it and thought, you know, that's who he is. He does, in his punk rock world, they don't care if you lose a tooth. It's a different vibe for me. But I thought, you know, that's my boy. And I thought, you know, it's like, I'm so glad to be at that. Not that I don't want my kids to have excellence, but there is something about just embracing the people in your life and saying, that's who they are. This is how they look. These are the tattoos they want to get. This is the music they listen to. I'm tired of stressing over it. You know, just all things work together, and I celebrate your uniqueness. And, you know, I can tell you, my son's in a very famous band that's in a European tour right now. So you can say, well, my kids have all their teeth. Really? Well, my son's in a band. You know, what can I tell you? He's famous. His fans don't care that he's missing a tooth. It kind of adds to his bad boy image. Not my thing. But it's so wonderful to get to a place where you can say, this is who I am, and this is who you are, and let's find about each other what we love, and there's some things about one another that we're never going to fully understand or embrace. We're just not. So stop trying to make everybody like you or whatever. There's some things that are just different, and it's okay. You don't have to be wrong for me to be right. Do you know what I mean? When you finally grasp that, you don't have to have an opinion about everything. Well, I don't like that kind. Well, then don't listen to it. That's why, and I finally winnowed it down to where this isn't the case, but that's why I used to tell people, if you disagree with what I preach, then just don't come, because you know what you're going to get. Over the years, I'd have people, especially before the congregation got really big, if there was something somebody disagreed with, I have certain people that would just sit there and go. And I would think, why are you even here? Like if I was that at odds with what the guy was saying, I would just say, well, I don't like what he preaches. There's a zillion other churches in Atlanta. Maybe I'll try one of those. Why are you going to sit here and make me get passive-aggressive with you because I'm clearly not your pastor. You know how you could tell if somebody's your pastor? If he says, we're going to go to Jekyll Island in a couple of days. I'm not going to give you a lot of detail, but go spend some money in a hotel and gas and everything. And I'm not going to even tell you where we're going to be, but we're going to watch the sunset, sunrise and the sunset. And you're just like, oh, I guess we're going to Jekyll Island. And, you know, people say, where are you going? I don't know. That guy said we're going there. We're going. What y'all going to do? We don't know. We haven't read the text yet. That's how you know. And if somebody's like, well, we got a plan, a trip, but then I'm not your pastor. Go to the head of the class. She quoted Abraham, Hebrews 11. Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees not knowing where he was going. Drop the mic. Two quotes I want to show you, and then we'll wrap it up. Emerson says, nothing external to you has any power over you. If it's an issue, it's because you've let it be an issue. Satan has come to me, but he has nothing in me. Very simple statement there. Extremely profound. You can imagine that it's demons attacking you or whatever. If that's the lane you want to drive in, fine. You'll find lots of people who need a devil. But at it's like 2:85 on rush hour. And there's, you know, there's a lot of money in devil stuff. There is. It's just like you. When you finally realize, oh, God created me in Elohim's image. You know, Fred, we got to go back and look at that Elohim thing even more. The fact that the Elohim says, let us make man in our image. That what that even speaks to me is that all the different people that you are, do you understand what I'm saying? All of it is necessary. Your mature self, your immature self, your got it together self, your, you know what I mean? All of it is you. I mean, honestly, I'm looking at that video last night because I hadn't looked at it in a while. And I look so different in 1985. It nearly looks like another person. Like, was that me? And some of the stuff, I'm like, wow, I was really full of myself. And then other stuff, I'm like, well, that was really anointed. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and I am candid enough that I can see all of it. I can see like, I remember why you wore that shirt. Seriously. And then there's other stuff, I'm like, whoa, that was really. That was God. Not all of it. Some of it, there was me and God and me, and sometimes more. You know what I mean? And it's like when you just embrace all of that. Have you ever been self-serving? Yeah. Have you ever been immature? Yeah. Have you ever been what I have? You have what? It kind of works this way. The more unconditional love I have for you, the more unconditional love I have for myself. The more unconditional love I have for myself, the more unconditional love I have for you. The more allowances I make for you, the more allowances I end up making for myself. The more allowances I make for myself, the more allowances I end up making for you. It's just, it's a completely different reality. You don't even have to be defensive anymore. Just say, sometimes, I've been selfish before. What's your point? And I've also laid down my life before. And all of it is a part of me. Let us make man in our image, all of you. What? Not let me make man in my image. Let us embrace everything that you've ever been. All your mistakes. All your wrong moves. All your codependent relationships. All your wood, hay, and stubble. Embrace it along with the pure gold, because it's all part of you. Let us. And furthermore, and I've been teaching this for years, the Isaiah prophecy is, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I can't see God without you. God is always revealed to an us. God's not revealed to a you or a me. He's revealed to an us. Yo-ho! Where two or three gather together in my name, that's where God is. Well, I don't need anybody. Oh, yes, you do. Well, you don't know. I've been hurt by people. Baby, I got 2,000 people blocked on Facebook. I win. Watching that video, it's like a series of people that don't speak to me now. And I'm like, oh, I forgot they were even there, you know. And it's like I watch it nearly with amusement now, because it's all us. I would not be who I am today. I couldn't have got y'all out on that beach last weekend if there hadn't been a church in the now. We went there. We did that. We went to another place. I thought y'all went to a theater. No, we didn't go to a theater. We went to another dimension. And then finally, this woman says, life has its rhythm, and we have ours. They're designed to coexist in harmony so that when we do what is ours to do and otherwise let life be, we garner acceptance and serenity. One reason I had everybody join hands last Saturday night and stand there at the edge of the surf. And some of y'all, the tide was coming in. Y'all were sinking. But I wanted everybody to get in that rhythm of the tide, coming in, going out, coming in, going out. And to sync up our heartbeats with one another. I mean, that's scientifically proven. You stand there and hold somebody's hand for a length of time. It's crazy. I know I've referred to this before. This is a mature audience. But women who work together in the same offices, their monthly cycles sync up. How do you even explain that? That shows you how we automatically are geared for connection. That's, I don't understand. Oh, yeah. So, there's a certain amount of need that you have just to be with other people and to connect with them. Can people hurt you? Yeah. Can people misunderstand you? Oh, yeah. It's so interesting to me how people hear different things. And like, I'm constantly reminded, wow, no two people are looking at the world the same way. So you have to keep making contact to be able to be on that same page, stay in that same flow. Does serenity come from being alone? Yeah, partly. And it also comes from being together. That's one thing. You know, it's been nearly a year ago that I started meditation. It was in August of last year. And the first time I did it, I was amazed at how y'all all got it. Like everybody, like, oh yeah, we totally get it. And it doesn't mean that you've become Buddhist. It means, not that there's anything wrong with that. It, like, oh, that would be terrible. Well, no, Buddhists are really nice people. I'm not even mad at that. But you can love Jesus and still meditate. Jesus was much more Zen-like than you realize. If Jesus were walking the earth today, he'd have much more in common with shamans and holy men and witch doctors. And he was out of the, he just colored outside the lines. And so we embrace serenity. Let's all stand. You don't have to join hands, but just be aware of the people around you and just be quiet with them for a minute. Just kind of soak up their essence. Do you come to church to be in the presence of God? Yeah, but you also come to be in each other's presence. Jesus tells his disciples, "With great desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." And that's when he said, "This is my body." The people you're standing with aren't perfect, but they're beautiful people. Beautifully imperfect, imperfectly beautiful. So before you leave today, I speak peace, serenity, silence, quiet, rest, tranquility. He leads you beside the still waters. Peace of mind. Mind of Christ. Assurance, confidence, grace. Joy. You sleep well tonight. Have a beautiful day tomorrow, however you celebrate it. We welcome the summer. Summer is a beautiful season. We welcome it. We welcome whatever is next for us as individuals. We welcome whatever is next for Metron. And we leave the Ur of the Chaldees not knowing where we're going. We'll know it when we get there. We embrace the lessons we learned last weekend. My sheep know my voice. Blessings. Amen. Please remain standing and we'll play this and then we can go. Did you get anything out of this?
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give any time by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab.
If you're making a check, make the JES.
Then my online donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you have cash, pay it forward. God bless you. I love you. Peace. Happy Memorial Day.